So Psalm 142. Notice the very beginning of this. It says a contemplation of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. In the cave. Understand something about King David before he was king. Well, you know, God had sent Samuel to him. We read in 1 Samuel that and anointed this young man, this young boy, and said, "You are going to be the king of Israel." Well, naturally, David felt like he had won the lottery. And he doesn't even play lottery. But what would happen after that is that David would have to go through some schooling. And at the time that he wrote this psalm, he was going through the school of servanthood of the Most High God, or the school of man after God's own heart. There are things that you and I wish we were. And that's more devoted to the Lord. That is more faithful to the Lord. Tighter relationship. Better Christian, whatever that may look like. We want those things, but unfortunately, our growth in those things is not going to come about except through the school of what David's gone through. The old school of hard knocks, right? And David understood this school of hard knocks as Saul, King Saul, wanted David dead out of pure envy. And so Saul sought out to kill David. And so, you know, in this particular school, the first class, I would say, would be to being despised. And then the second class is running for your life. And here we're in like the third class, which would be loneliness. And loneliness actually, while it can be a horrible feeling for all of us, that's the place where the Lord wants to meet with you. Loneliness, I just had that thing about, you know, when Jacob wrestled with God, it was when Jacob was alone that God wrestled with him. And you and I need to wrestle with God, and it's not going to happen until we experience loneliness. And that's what David was experiencing in the cave. Which is the cave? There were two caves that David resided in at different times. The one being Adullam, and the second cave that he had gone to was the cave of En Gedi. And we're going to talk about that stuff as we get through this psalm. So with that said, did I pray yet? I didn't, did I? Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for your love and for your protection and for your ways. And we want to thank you for every difficulty in our lives, and that in these difficulties that we would lift up our eyes and see you. Thank you for putting that heart in David, and we ask you to put that heart in us. Lord, we know we're going to see difficulty whether or not we want to get closer to you. And I pray that we would have the sense to draw closer to you in difficulty, one way or the other. Thank you, Lord, for all of those who have been so faithful to you, and that, well, we could look at their lives and see that it is possible. But Lord, mostly we thank you for your faithfulness to us. You have been wonderful. We thank you. Pray in Jesus' name, amen. I cry out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord, I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. Notice he's not talking to the Lord at all right here. He's talking to others, anybody who's listening. He's saying, this is what I'm doing. I cry out to the Lord. That's who I cry out to. I'm pouring out my complaint to the Lord. That's who I pour out my complaint to. I think he's just kind of making a point here, saying, hey, look, I'm in real deep trouble here, and so I just letting you know that I am praying to God, who is my only hope. He is the only one who is going to listen to me. He is the only one who can help me. And that's why I am praying to God. And he would even use this situation to teach those who were with him that this is what you do. Now, we're talking about loneliness, and we're going to see it here in this psalm, but I'm going to get a little ahead of myself and just say that there were those who were with him, and yet he was lonely. And so we're going to look at that. Verse 3, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path in the way in which I walk. They have secretly set a snare for me. This is him now speaking to the Lord. And notice, it's just kind of a weird thing. When my spirit was overwhelmed with me, then you, God, then you knew my path. Like God didn't know it before David was overwhelmed. No, God knows your path, my path, that is our way, who we are, what type of people we are, but not so much that in the context here. He's talking about what was going to happen to him. Where, you know, where's those next steps? Where's all that stuff going? And so God knows those things about you and me way before we pray about them. So then why is he saying, you know, well, now God knows my path? Well, I think because as David would be overwhelmed, his spirit deep within him, that's when we have, well, just like David was, you know, when we're overwhelmed, we have a keen eye for our only hope. It is in those times when we really have no other hope that we do look up and we pray to the Lord. And we, when we do that, understand and we become aware that God knows our path. And so here's David with no thought of God, and then he lifts up his voice to the Lord, and he is overwhelmed, and Lord, I don't know what to do, but notice he is addressing the Lord, and in addressing the Lord, he has concluded that the Lord hears him, and that the Lord knows, and he has gone to the right place. You know, in the way which I walk, they have secretly set a snare for me. So, what's wonderful about this is that while the enemy would plot in secret, there's nothing hidden from God. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Psalm 69, verse 5, O God, you know my foolishness, and my sins are not hidden from you. Jeremiah 16, 17, for my eyes are on all their ways, they are not hidden from my face, this is God talking, nor is their iniquity hidden from my eyes. How many secret things, you know, are plotted against God's people, and yet God sees it. He's not, you know, and, you know, always it's, I feel funny about people who are worried about what other people are going to do to us as Christians, like God doesn't see it or something, but he does see it. And what we obviously need to do with that is just to bring it before God. And God, I think there are people that are out there trying to get us. I'm not making you all paranoid. I don't know that there's anybody in Fort Bragg trying to get us. But as you bring it up to the Lord, you understand that he sees every secret thing they're doing. God knows. He knows the whole thing. And so, you know, with all of this, David is getting some comfort out of this. He says, look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. Okay, David. What we know about 1 Samuel chapter 22 is that David went to hide out in a cave and he brought 400 men with him. And it tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 22 that his friends and family came to visit him at Adullam, at that cave of Adullam. There, his friends and family were there at the door, you know. Says, hey, I heard you're staying here in the cave. You need a sandwich? Or I don't know what they were saying to him. And here he is in that cave going, no one's here. Now, I don't want to bag on David too much with this. Because how many times have you felt alone when you weren't alone at all? In fact, there are people who come to church and in all the people all around them, they just feel alone. Maybe you feel alone because you feel like your situation is unique. Your peeps may be there, but they can't empathize with you. They can feel sorry for you, but not sufficiently because they haven't been there. And because they haven't been there, you just feel like even though somebody is there, even praying with you, they got their hand on you, they're telling you, there can be this whole attitude of, no, you don't really care, which is a pretty not right attitude. But it feels that way anyway. And that's the thing. Somebody comes up to you and says, hey, bro, what's the problem? Nobody cares. And nobody, what am I, chopped liver? And I guess maybe sometimes all those people that are trying to be nice to us, they are chopped liver to us. David felt alone. One reason, commentators suggest that this wasn't the cave of Adullam, but it was from 1 Samuel chapter 24 when David was in the cave of En-Gedi. But David had 400 men with him there too, as well. And so there's no, face it, he's saying, God, I'm alone, nobody's here, when there were plenty of people there. I think that David realizes that even though they are all there, still there is no hope in what they could do for him. It's like being in the hospital. Back to the thing, your situation is unique. You're in the hospital and you might be sick, might be on a deathbed, and people can come to you, and it feels okay to have them come to you, but they can't really help. And so David's only help was in the Lord. Which, by the way, when people can't really sympathize with you or empathize, that is to have experienced what you've experienced, that's where the Lord comes in. And we know, as we learn in Hebrews chapter 4, that he can sympathize with us in all our weakness. And that, he was tempted just as we are, yet without sin. He knows what it's like. And so in all of your loneliness, do as David did. Go to the Lord and say, yeah, I'm feeling lonely here, but Lord, you are my answer. Fact is, you're not alone. And David's going to conclude that anyway. Verse 5, I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. David realizes that God is his protection, his refuge. He also calls God his portion. In other words, what comes to him, his reward. That's the hardest lesson for us, and I can teach it over and over and over again. And sometimes I get it, and other times I don't get it. I would rather God be the giver of the rewards than he be the reward himself. And that is what Abram had to learn in Genesis chapter 15. Actually, he sort of started learning it in Genesis chapter 14 when, the king of Sodom wanted to give him a big old reward for saving them in the battle. And Abram said, no, I don't want that. But it's interesting that in chapter 15, that's when God comes to Abram and he says to him, hey, I am your exceedingly great reward. As many of the commentators suggest there that Abram was kind of regretting that he said no to all the great things that the king of Sodom could have given him. And that he's sitting there going, whoa, wait a minute. I just turned my back on a lot of really cool stuff. And the Lord says, don't sweat it. stop looking for me or for anybody else to give you really cool stuff, because I am your reward. And David, when he is alone in the cave, now remember, he's running for his life, hiding from Saul. But there comes a point, and that is when you have nothing at all. When you realize that, wow, the Lord is all there is, and he is all there was, even when I had everything. And that is a hard lesson. I think about that, those, you know, I don't want that lesson. But the Lord may have to teach us these lessons. And I'm praying and hoping that so many people that have suffered there in paradise and now also in Malibu, that they're realizing that God is their reward, that God is their only hope. Don't forget that. And he is not, and you know, well, let's go on with it. I can go on and on, as you know. Verse 6, attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. That's wonderful. He's realistic about this and his persecutors. As you know, remember, as we were talking about this morning, we are weak. We are weak people. We are not strong. And the things that come against us, they're stronger than us. And, you know, periodically, God's going to prove to us that we're weak. I get it proven to me, I don't know, just every now and then. God proves to me, you know, I'm pretty weak. And David had it down. He had it figured out, and that is this. My enemy is stronger than me, but you, God, are stronger than my enemy. Do you realize that's the whole enchilada right there, as far as our lives go? Quite different than maybe the way we have thought or felt, and maybe some of you even feel today as you go through the stuff you're going through. But back in Numbers chapter 13, when the Israelites were ready to go into the promised land, they got on the edge of the land, and then they sent the spies in, and the spies came back and said, man, them people are huge. We're like grasshoppers. They're going to wipe us out. You know, and 2 million people said, whoop, okay, we're going back to Egypt. Of course, they got busted for all of that. But while David says, the enemy is stronger than me, but you, Lord, are stronger than the enemy, the Israelites had said, the enemy is stronger than me, therefore, Lord, they are stronger than you. And how we respond to the difficulty that we face in our lives determines what we believe about our God. As a friend of mine I've known for 25 years, boy, he used to make me so mad when I would complain to him about some problem, and he would just very nonchalantly say, how big is your God? And I go, whoa, dude, stop it. Turned out, I guess I didn't really have a very accurate view of how big my God is. But he's bigger than all of this. Something else here, in that David had been brought very low. Boy, had he been brought low. It's been a horrible time ever since he started playing music at Saul's house. You know, the spears flying and him running for his life. And then one day he's out there hiding in the bushes, whether or not he's going to run or get to stay. And then every day from that point on, just not even, I mean, just wondering, well, I wonder if this is the last day of my life. And I'm going to die a gruesome death at the end of the spear of Saul. David, who was already low, in my opinion, he was the youngest of a family that wouldn't even acknowledge him. You know, the boy's out in the field. But he had been brought even lower than all of that. You ever feel that way? Anytime you've been brought low, haven't you ever said to God, I thought I was low enough. I think I was low enough. But God differs. He begs to differ with you. What happens when we're brought low is what happened with David. David becoming more humble in his own eyes, you know. And as a result, you're just more usable, more pliable. And it made David, remember back in 1 Samuel 22, it made David willing to associate with a lower class of people. Because his heart was convinced that he was of the lowest class. Being humbled is the most wonderful thing for anybody who really wants to walk as Jesus walked. And that is, well, to be willing to hang out with those people that most people wouldn't hang out with at all. Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. We know this, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. David was now at a point where he did not consider anybody less than him. And if you and I are considering anybody less than ourselves, we need the Lord to work. And here, of course, as David was in the cave of Adullam, and there were the 400 guys, and these people were they were the malcontents. They were the losers of society, these 400 guys, who would turn into David's mighty men. And we see David here as a picture of Christ for sure. Takes 400 losers and troublemakers, and he turns them into mighty men. I love my Savior. I love what he does to people like us. What he does with people like us. And again, if you want to walk like Jesus, the answer is to associate with the humble. And in doing so, to be able to lift up the humble. And they'd be usable. And so, all right, verse 7. Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. This is the typical David prayer. You know, the, oh, help, oh God, oh please, oh God, oh please, oh help, oh, you know. And then by the end of the prayer, he goes, man, you're awesome, and we got this down. That is the lesson from just about every one of David's psalms. Notice his soul is in prison. You know, it's hard to praise the Lord when your insides are imprisoned by the things that are bigger than you. About 3 hours ago, I wrote that sentence. And boy, was that me. How many things just in the last month where I felt like my soul was imprisoned by things that are bigger than me, and I forgot that God was bigger than them. And so David knows where to go with this. Deliver me from this stuff, Lord. Could you please get my soul out of that prison? And then, of course, David looks ahead. The righteous shall surround me. I know that to be a fact. David looks ahead. We're told in Colossians chapter 3 to keep our mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him." Isn't that always the answer? Isn't it great that we have the answer? So tonight we're going to get our eyes on him. I mean, I'll tell you, like for me right now, I don't think I got any real problems. I love those times. We're good with those. Very good. You know, but the troubles will come. Some of you are dealing with trouble right now. And of course, as I had said this morning, there's no, I realize that you know, in when we look at what's happening with Pastors Dave Sweet and Bob Scott, and thousands of other people in paradise, our problems, in comparison, they're petty. But the Lord even cares about our petty problems. He cares about those things. So whatever your problem may be, maybe your house has burned down, or maybe you have a hangnail. Do you realize that the answer is always the same? The Lord is our reward. Look ahead. Be confident that the suffering of this time is nothing to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. Father, we praise you and we thank you. And Lord, as we would sing to you, I pray that we would consider the words and our hearts would sing to you and pray to you, and that we would have a time of intimacy with you as we would understand that you really are our protection, our refuge, our portion, and that fact of the fact that you're just going to deal bountifully with us. It's wonderful, Lord, to belong to you. Well, pray in Jesus' name. Amen.